Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Is your business ready for growth? At Krogan Colonial Bank, we recognize the ambition of business owners like you. Our commercial lending services can provide the flexible financing necessary to expand your operations, invest in new opportunities, or manage your cash flow effectively. Don't put your business ambitions on the back burner. Turn to Krogan Colonial Bank to help you move your business forward. Krogan Colonial Bank, helping good people make good decisions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
The concierge industry is undergoing a transformative phase at the moment, driven by technology, personalisation and indeed sustainability. So for this week's industry review, I wanted to chat to three of the country's finest concierges to find out just what's making this line of business tick. And I'm delighted to welcome Padraig Casey, a.k.a. PC. He's the head concierge at the Killarney Park Hotel. He's also president of the group that I mentioned earlier called Le Clé d'Or that represents the world's concierges. Sally McGrath is the concierge at the Cashel Palace Hotel down there in the lovely Tipperary. And Martin Mulholland joins us as head concierge from the Europa Hotel in Belfast. So we have a strong representation here today. And I might start with you, PC. You're 35 years in hospitality, not all of them as a concierge, but what led you to this business?
It's a family trait or tradition. My dad would have been a bar manager in Killarney for close to 40 years. He met my mother in the same hotel. There were no babysitters. I spent a lot of my time running around the hotel when I was younger, and I took my first job in hospitality during the summer holidays in 1990 when I was 13. So I've been stuck in it since.
Yeah.
Ups, downs, laughs, tears, but for the most part, very enjoyable.
Okay. So the role of the concierge then, PC, how do you define it? What do you say when somebody says, what does a concierge do? What do you say back to them?
I suppose we're the main touch point, maybe pre-arrival and when they do get to the hotels. We wear golden keys. We're members of the Clé d'Or, which is recognised worldwide. And when people see those keys, there is an element of trust. They know they're dealing with a professional. So it's up to us then to give advice, to tailor experiences and to make it as personal as we possibly can.
So you're the meter, the greeter, the fixer-upper and everything in between.
You've hit the nail on the head with that.
Not Bobby, very eloquent language, but it does capture it. Let's talk to our second guest on International Women's Day, Sally McGrath. Great to see a woman, indeed, as a concierge at the Cashel Palace Hotel. So congratulations on breaking through there. There isn't too many female concierges that I certainly know, so you're one of a very small group, I take it.
Yeah, but it's so great. So that's the great thing about Cashel Palace, and everyone knows Cashel Palace is under the Cumhur umbrella, you know, Cumhur being the world's largest breeding operation of thoroughbred racehorses. So we have a lovely hotel with a very horsey theme, but unusually compared with other hotels that I'm, you know, we were just chatting actually before we came in. I'm not aware down the country of any other female concierges, but in the Cashel Palace, our general manager is Adrian Bartels, who's really well known in the hospitality industry. Adrian has chosen all female concierges. So It's good time on International Women's Day to give a shout out to my colleagues, Emma May and Julie.
Great. Well said. And just, Sally, your own route to your current job.
Yep.
You worked in fitness and in...
That's right, sports.
And so how did you navigate your way to this current role?
Through Adrian, actually, because I had met Adrian previously on another project where I was actually going to go back into the whole, you know, leisure and fitness side of the business. And then when he was sorting out Cashel Palace and was responsible for the reopening of this beautiful, beautiful building, I had contacted him and then he decided, we're putting you in here.
Well done. Okay. Let's talk to our third guest, Martin Mulholland, head concierge at the Europa Hotel in Belfast. Martin, you're very welcome to the programme. The Europa Hotel, known for other things as well as I'm sure having a very, very nice concierge. But the history of the Europa was turbulent. So the role of the concierge has probably changed there relative to the guests over the years. Would that be fair to say?
Very much so. I started in September 1983, so probably in the eye of the storm in what was known as the Troubles. So probably my concierge duties weren't the same as perhaps maybe PC's and Sally's. Predominantly, we would have had journalists staying in the hotel, covering the stories. So we were dealing day on day with ABC, NBC, CNN. They all had permanent offices in the hotel. So, quite high octane stuff. But we were able to build relationships with those guys, and down the years, we've become really good friends.
Yeah, and I suppose when you look at the customer profile today, it's obviously very different. Has the personality of the hotel sort of changed to reflect the different consumer base?
I think if you look at the history of Belfast in the last 50 years, you can't tell that story without talking about the Europa.
Yeah.
It's played such a magnificent part in the city, in the history of the city. In the early years, it would have been predominantly press. And then obviously with the onset of the peace process, the demographic changed. So the tourism came along and quite quickly. So it was then adapting to a very different clientele, which was wonderful. It just gave it a whole new aspect.
Yeah.
And, it's still, Belfast's a fantastic city and it's still progressing.
PC, back to you. In terms of, I suppose, nationalities that appreciate the virtues of a good concierge, the Americans clearly, the first thing that they do when they go anywhere is they look for the concierge. And a lot of your customer base would be American. Are Americans more likely to integrate with you than Europeans or Germans or French or Swiss? Or do you see it as a completely generic thing?
I'd consider it universal, really. We would have a lot of American clients, especially in the summer months, whether it's touring, golfing, whatnot. But in the winter months, we have a massive loyal Irish trade, repeat custom, and your services are just as much in demand when it comes to Irish people as it is when it comes to Americans, Europeans, Asians, or anyone else. So I suppose it's universal in that respect, really. You don't know who's going to come through the door next.
Yeah. Tell us how the role may have changed, because with the world that we live in and, the internet and online, people can be very well informed before they come to a place, which may not have been the case in prior decades. In other words, people can check out a town, where are the places where everybody's eating, where are the places people... So does that not change your role somewhat?
Slightly, but most of the guests will tell you nothing beats a local's advice, whether you're walking the streets of Killarney or looking for sites in Dublin, Cashel, Belfast. Locals know things that you're not going to find in the internet. Locals can tailor experiences for you that are unique and maybe you won't find in the guidebook. So there's still a willingness and an eagerness to get to know people. And it's a very, very personal service that we do offer. We will tailor it uniquely for the individual. Yes, they can look at whatever they want online and it's all there. but nothing will ever beat a local connection.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Back to you, Sally, in terms of the sort of things that you're asked to do for people.
Yeah.
Like you obviously book equestrian things and fishing or whatever it is, sports and leisure activities in the vicinity of the hotel. So your relationship with local providers, talk to us a little bit about
that's
that.
Very, very important, especially in Cashel. What we do is very, very niche, especially with the equine side of things. We have our own equine concierge, so it's very bespoke. So you're sending people out all around Tipperary. It's brought an awful lot of business to Tipperary. It has put Cashel on the global map.
Yeah.
So even on our menus, provenance of the food, everything is local. And it's sending people out to all the different activities.
So when you make an arrangement with somebody who provides a fly fishing course, for instance, mm-hmm. you need to be really, really sure that that person is going to give your client an experience that they're going to be more than happy
exactly.
with.
Exactly. And that's why, what PC was saying about local, no, you can't beat local knowledge.
Because your reputation is somewhat at stake, is it not?
Of course,
if you're saying, I'm recommending you to go to this person. So if it's great and I presume 9 times out of 10 it is.
It is.
Everybody's happy and they're delighted they took your recommendation. But if it's not, you run the risk of your own reputation being compromised.
We have built such a good relationship with all our providers. Even taking, for example, a small provider there in Cashel, Rossa Pottery. They provide this beautiful bespoke pottery experience. We have a fantastic, when you're talking about fishing, we have a great guy who does fly fishing. We know feedback, what's going to work and what's not and what's great.
There's loads of text coming in and I want to read out a couple of them just to get your views. Bobby, my dad was a concierge in a hotel in Donegal for years. He really ran the hotel, despite managers and everything else. Concierge work is a dying art. Every hotel needs someone who can get the job done. That comes in from Jason. Now, as a property in the northern part of the country, Martin, what do you make of that text?
Yeah, I would agree.
You've seen managers come and go.
I've been there for every general manager that the Europa has had, and everyone brings their own different stamp to it. I would agree that the concierge has a very big impact on their hotel. You know, we're the first person.
It's the face of the hotel.
Absolutely. It's the first person you see when you come through the door. It's the last person you see when you're leaving the hotel. So it genuinely is the face of the hotel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do. That's why we have our repeat guests. A lot of people associate the concierge or the hotel with the personality.
Well, there's another nice one here. Put this to you, PC. There was a concierge in a hotel in Nace, and he was the best man for a tip on a horse, as all the owners and breeders used to tell him what horses they had. Kathy, I'd say, Sally, you're laughing at that one.
Yeah,
you need to be able to give the tips. Speaking of tips, right, this is the dark art. Someone always said to me that you should tip the concierge when you arrive, not when you leave. Would you subscribe to that, PC?
My personal habit when I am somewhere is I generally do tend to tip on arrival. I just like to get it out of the way.
There is, when you think about it, the psychology of tipping on arrival, it's a smart move in terms of, you know, somebody knows that you're they're obviously, in terms of making sure the guest is looked after, it might be one way of making sure we don't forget that guest.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it will stick in the memory. If somebody does look after you on arrival, you are going to go above and beyond for them over the course of their stay. But you'll do that for every guest anyway. A tip is a bonus, you know.
But it does, a texter here says, our tips still a big part of concierge life? I'm sure they are.
Oh, they are.
Yeah,
they are.
Of course,
you know,
they are.
Tips are big in,
and you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Yeah, that's just the makeup of the business. That's, we all have to earn a few quid.
We all have to earn a few quid, exactly.
Martin, what are your views on tipping?
So for instance, if I was going to a hotel or a restaurant, I would make sure to tip and tip well, because I'm from that industry.
Yeah,
I'm from within that, so I understand how that works. You know, tips can take a lot of different formats, let's put it like that.
Can you ask your guest what she thinks about hotels becoming totally faceless and all digital. We stayed at a four-star hotel in Cardiff recently, and when we came home, I had to Google the meaning of hospitality. So this is where, I suppose, and you know, you're all strong personalities, and personality is a big part of this job, is it not?
Absolutely. Adrian always says, if I see you at work and you're not talking to somebody, you're not doing your job. And that, to me, that's, I would say 80% of my job is the chatting, having the chats. I was only telling the boys there, because we are very discreet in our job, but even last Sunday, hearing around the back roads feathered with the former Olympic show jumper and very, very famous horse trainer from Britain. And we chatting away and we having a great laugh. That's the majority of the job. Entertaining, you're looking after. And you know that saying, people always remember how you made them feel more than what you do for the person. So it's making people feel comfortable, giving them a really good hospitable experience. So that's the majority, a huge part of your job.
Discretion, PC, Sally mentioned it there. You do really have to be the epitome of discretion, do you not? In terms of your tone, your voice, your confidentiality, all those things.
You have to be discreet. You have to have a certain amount of empathy as well for guests in certain situations. But yeah, there's a lot that you wouldn't talk about afterwards. And that's the level of discretion that people expect from you when they do see golden keys in your lapels. There's a certain element of trust there. So yeah, and when dealing with famous people from time to time, a lot of hotels would have maybe confidentiality clauses. So there are certain details that, you know, you can't talk about.
Yeah. No, I think that's obviously you have to be professional about how you go about your business. In terms of never saying no, Martin, is no in your vocabulary, or do you say I'll get back to you, or do you, what do you do? How do you? But you don't want to be, you don't really want to be saying no. Ideally, certainly.
Obviously,
I'm sure you have said no, but
within the grounds of illegal and immoral, let's put it like that. We always try and, you know, if there's something we can't do, we'll certainly offer an alternative. No really shouldn't be in your vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know, you should have enough experience and enough contacts that if it's not specifically what the guest's looking for, you can take them down another track and offer them something similar. And you know, 99.9% of the time, the guest is more than happy with that.
Yeah. And what about getting more young people, even more females into the business, Sally?
Yes.
What are hotels doing to maybe encourage that? Or if there was a young person wanting to pursue such a career, are the opportunities there?
Absolutely. So yeah. That, I know that Fall to Ireland do have a programme in trying to get young people, because that's, you probably know, it's really lacking, trying to get Irish people into Irish hospitality, because that's what our overseas guests want. They want to meet an Irish person, to find out about the local area and all the activities, etc. But if we could get more women into concierge, that would be wonderful. And, you know, they talk about the lack of women maybe in Claydore because there are only two of us, but that's simply because there is a lack of concierges in Ireland. And as I said, we're kind of unique in Cashel Palace, but it would be great if there was more put into promoting people working in the hospitality industry.
Well said on International Women's Day. Well said to you. So look, it's been a pleasure for me to meet all three of you. I want to thank my guests, Padraig Casey, a.k.a. PC, the head concierge at the Killarney Park Hotel, and he's the president of Le Clay d'Or. Sally McGrath from the Cashel Palace Hotel, and Martin Mulholland, indeed, from the Europa in Belfast. Thank you for your service, as they say, and good luck in your endeavours.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Is your business ready for growth? At Krogan Colonial Bank, we recognize the ambition of business owners like you. Our commercial lending services can provide the flexible financing necessary to expand your operations, invest in new opportunities, or manage your cash flow effectively. Don't put your business ambitions on the back burner. Turn to Krogan Colonial Bank to help you move your business forward. Krogan Colonial Bank, helping good people make good decisions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval.